Says in verse number 21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Again, emphasizing the fact that there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're going to be made alive, if you're going to be resurrected, it's through Christ and Christ alone. But he says, "But every man in his own order." So we're talking about the chronological order of the resurrection. He says, "Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Now this is a very important passage about the second coming of Christ and about the rapture, if you want to call it that, or the first resurrection, or when the dead in Christ will rise first and we which are alive and remain are caught up together be with them in the clouds. Very important. Because the Bible here gives us a very clear timeline of the resurrection, does it not? He says, Christ, the first fruits. Now, those who are these followers of Peter Ruckman, or those that are these dispensationalists, or, you know, and they say, "Well, I'm not a hyper dispensational. I'm just a It's like, shut up. It's all a bunch of false garbage. Yeah, it's like, "Well, I'm not a hyper Calvinist." You know, what are you then? I'm just a kind of Calvinist. I'm just kind of a dispensational. I'm not kind of anything. You know, you're kind of following lies. So dispensationalism is a false doctrine. And it's not kind of right. And it's not, well, just don't take it too far and become. And nobody wants to say that they're hyper. Because you know what hyper means? Too much. So who's going to say, "I'm too much of a dispensationalist"? Therefore, is anybody really going to admit that they're hyper anything? So guess what? These people that say they're a dispensationalist, they're really a hyper dispensationalist. Because even if you're 1 ounce dispensational, that's too much. So it's a stupid word game to say, "Well, I'm dispensational, but I'm not hyper dispensational." If you go find the guy that they're calling hyper, he'll tell you he's not hyper. You know, and if you find the one that's, I'm a 4-point Calvinist or a 5-point, it's all false doctrine. And we shouldn't even be dabbling in it, okay? Stay away from it. It's not biblical. And this is what those that are, you know, these that believe in a pre-trib rapture, okay? And look, if you believe in the pre-trib rapture, I don't know what, you need to watch that movie, okay? But anyway, you know, if you believe in the pre-trib rapture, you don't read the Bible much, or you've been severely brainwashed by your church, because the Bible clearly says it's after the tribulation, and there's so much scripture to prove that. But those who believe in a pre-trib rapture, or dispensationalist, or hyper-dispensational, or they're these Ruckmanites, this is what they'll teach. There are 7 raptures. 7 raptures in the Bible. And then they have all these different resurrections, too. They've got multiple resurrections. They'll say, "Well, you know, there's a resurrection before the tribulation. Then there's a resurrection partway through the tribulation. Then there's a resurrection at the end of the tribulation. Then there's another resurrection after the millennium." And have all these different resurrections going on. Now look, what does the Bible teach here about the resurrection of the dead? It teaches that it comes basically in 3 stages, including the resurrection of Christ. I mean, this passage, it could not be any clearer. He said, this is the order. And now look, this is the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. And he says this. He says, look, here's the order. Every man in his own order. He says, Christ the first fruits. That's step 1, the first fruits. Okay? But that's not a resurrection of believers. That's just a resurrection of Jesus only. One guy, one person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself resurrected. So Christ the first fruits, afterward. Okay, did everybody get that? Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. So let me ask this. Is there a resurrection of believers before Christ's coming?
No.
No. Because there's Christ the first fruits, then afterward there's they that are Christ's at his coming. So wouldn't you say that the resurrection of believers is going to occur at the coming of Christ? Couldn't be any clearer, could it? Okay, now let's see if this is consistent with 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when does 1 Thessalonians 4 say the dead are going to rise? At the coming of Christ. When does 1 Corinthians 15 say that the dead are going to rise? At the coming of Christ. So it's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty simple. Very consistent. You say, well, don't confuse the rapture with the second coming of Christ. Two different things. Okay, well, is this the third? Is that the third coming? You know, is this coming 1.5? Look, the rapture is the coming of Christ, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and according to 1 Corinthians 15. Because what happens first? The dead in Christ rise first. And that happens at the coming of Christ. Okay, very consistent. But keep reading. So he said, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, then. Do you see the word then? So isn't he telling us what comes next? Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. So when does Jesus deliver up the kingdom to the Father? After the millennium, right? It says, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. This is when he puts down that final rebellion in Revelation 20. And it says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. When does that take place? The great white throne after the millennium, when all enemies are put under his feet. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And then look at this. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So that is when the final resurrection of the dead takes place. Okay, go to John 5. John chapter 5. So the Bible is crystal clear here in 1 Corinthians 15 that there is Christ the first fruits, then there is a first resurrection of believers at Christ's coming, and then there's a second resurrection of believers after the millennium, right? So we have Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ is coming, then cometh the end. And the end is defined for us as after the millennium, when everything is put under his feet and he delivers up the kingdom of the Father, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now look at John 5 and tell me if that's consistent with what I've just explained. It says in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, this is talking about in 1 hour, all that are in the graves hearing his voice, and some rising to a resurrection of life, and some rising to a resurrection of damnation. Not a resurrection of life. They're not coming back to life. A lot of times people misunderstand the word resurrect to mean come to life. No, resurrect means to raise up. But he's going to raise up the dead, and they're going to remain dead. Because in Revelation 20, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So they're still dead. The dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books. Then they're cast into the lake of fire. Okay. So again, this is talking about 1 hour when they will all hear his voice. Now, those that believe in a pre-trib rapture, here's what they'll say when you show them this verse. Well, that hour there, that takes place over, that's talking about two events that are over 1,000 years apart, they'll say. They'll say those two events, you know, the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust, are taking place over 1,000 years apart, and yet God uses the word hour. Isn't that amazing? No, it's not amazing. It's not true. It's not right. That's not what hour means. An hour is 60 minutes, okay? And if the word hour is ever used metaphorically, it's talking about a specific moment in time. You know, a certain time has come. This is your hour. You know, this is the time. This is your time. We're not talking about two events 1,000 years apart. That wouldn't be an hour. There's no way you're going to make an hour out of that. Okay. I don't know where people come up with this stuff. But basically, what this is referring to, according to Jesus, isn't Jesus saying there's going to be an hour when every single person in the grave, here's what, everybody who's in the grave, and they will all be resurrected at the same time, and that the good and the evil, the just and the unjust, will all be resurrected at the same time, one group to be damned and one group to be saved, right? And be brought to life. Well, when is this referring to? Let me ask this. Is it referring to the first resurrection? No. Because at the first resurrection, also known as the rapture, that's when only the believers rise. Okay? The unsaved do not rise in that resurrection. But according to 1 Corinthians 15, go to Revelation 20 if you would. According to 1 Corinthians 15, there is another second resurrection that takes place after the millennium, right? Because he says, here's the order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ is coming. Then at the end, he talks about death being destroyed. He talks about a third resurrection. I'm not going to call it the third resurrection. I'm going to call it the second resurrection because Christ is the first fruits. It's the first fruits, and there's the first resurrection of believers and the second resurrection of believers. Boom, boom, boom. It's so simple, but people have tried to make it complicated because they've lied. And it says in Revelation chapter 20 here, when it describes these exact events, it's perfectly consistent with 1 Corinthians 15. It says in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they what? Lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay, so we're talking about here the first resurrection, which takes place before the millennium, right? Which takes place at the coming of Christ. Okay, now I want you to pay very close attention. That maybe this sermon is a little bit too doctrinal for you, but get some smarts and listen up. I want you to pay very close attention for the next few minutes because I'm afraid I'm going to lose some people because I don't want, you know, I'm trying to make this as simple as I can, but I really want you to pay attention because this is really key here. Very important what I'm going to say over the next couple minutes. Listen. He says here that they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That tells us that the first resurrection takes place before the millennium, right? Because they come up and they live again, and then they reign for 1,000 years, okay? That's the first resurrection. Okay, now those that are pre-trib will say that this is not the first resurrection. Why? Because they believe in a pre-trib rapture. Well, here it says that in the first resurrection, it includes people who have been beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast. That means they went through the tribulation, right? So this proves a pre-tribulation, good night, proves that the pre-tribulation rapture is stupid. Because it shows here that the first resurrection, and they'll say, well, the first resurrection comes in three stages. Okay, is that what 1 Corinthians 15 taught?
No, not at all.
No. It taught Jesus' resurrection, afterward they that are Christ is coming, then cometh the end. So with that in mind, doesn't it make sense to call this the first resurrection? Because we're not counting Christ because he was the first fruits, that he was not a believer. He was the Savior himself. They that are Christ that is coming are the first fruits, okay? They come up before the millennium. And they include people who went through the tribulation because they've been beheaded for Christ in many cases. Okay, but here's the part that I really want to drive in. Because there are some people who mistakenly think that the first resurrection or the rapture takes place after God has poured out his wrath. Now, here's why they come to that conclusion. Because they're reading the Bible chronologically here. And they see, basically, the wrath being poured out in Revelation. Okay? And they see, basically, the vials of God's wrath being poured out. And then after that, they come to chapter 20 and say, well, here, he's saying these people are resurrected and they're reigning with Christ. Therefore, they say that they're resurrected right at the very beginning of the millennium after the wrath is poured out. Because basically what we believe is that the resurrection takes place, you know, post-tribulational, but that it's pre-wrath. Because the Bible's real clear when this takes place. It takes place when the sun and moon are darkened. Okay, he said the sun is darkened, the moon is darkened, then they see Christ coming in the clouds, the trumpet sounds, he gathers the elect. Then after that, he pours out his wrath, and his wrath is encompassed in the seven trumpets and the seven vials. Okay, now those who believe that chapter 20 is describing the resurrection are wrong, and I'm going to prove it to you, but you have to pay close attention. And if you pay close attention, you'll see without a shadow of a doubt that that post-wrath paradigm is false. Let me prove it to you. Because the Bible here is describing those who came up in the first resurrection as sitting on thrones and ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. Does that mean that they're just now being resurrected in chapter 20? No. They've already been resurrected years earlier. Not pre-trib. No, of course not. Post-trib, but post-tribulational, but pre-wrath, because they do include those that were beheaded for the cause of Christ, which proves that they went through the tribulation. But they were not there for the outpouring of God's wrath. Here's the proof. And obviously there's lots more proof, but here's the proof from this passage. It says in verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the key right there. This is the first resurrection. Now think about this for a moment. If those who believe in this post 7 years, post Daniel's 70th week, post wrath resurrection, this rapture that takes place after God pours out his wrath, you know, that we're going to be here while God's pouring out his wrath, that we're going to be here for the whole 7 years, okay? If that were the case, and the rapture were taking place at this point in Revelation 20, okay, why would any dead be left in the grave that would live again when the 1,000 years are finished? Think about that. Who understood what I just said? Put up your hand. David, is it making sense? Who? Okay, about two people. Okay, let me try to explain it better. Okay, if after the wrath is poured out and everything, and we're in Revelation 20, the millennium is about to start, if this is when the first resurrection is taking place, then wouldn't all believers be caught up? Doesn't the Bible teach that? Okay, so who are the dead that are going to live again 1,000 years later? Well, you might say, oh, well, that's the unsaved. You know, right? Because the saved, they're all going up, and then the unsaved are remaining in the grave. Wrong. Because the unsaved are not going to live again. Because when they stand before God, are they alive or dead? He said, I saw the dead. It's not a resurrection of life. It's a resurrection of damnation. They stand before God dead. So when it says the rest of the dead lived not again, who are we talking about? Saved or unsaved? Anybody who's going to live again is saved. Anybody who lives again is saved, because the dead, the unsaved are never going to live again. They stand before God dead. This is talking about the second resurrection, which takes place after the millennium. Because remember 1 Corinthians 15, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ is coming. Then cometh the end, and he talks about a post-millennial resurrection. Jesus talked about it when he said, in 1 hour, the saved and the unsaved will all be resurrected. Okay? One's a resurrection of life, living again. One's a resurrection of damnation. So, in order for people to be left in the graves that are called the rest of the dead, and he's saying the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished, that would mean that there would have to be a period of time between when the first resurrection and the rapture happened and when they begin to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. There'd have to be a period of time for other believers to die that would be considered the rest of the dead that are not going to live again.